Well, on behalf of all who are gathered here at St Andrew's Cathedral, both inside and outside, and on behalf of the hundreds of thousands who are listening to this broadcast or watching it on TV, in fact, as a state funeral, on behalf of the entire nation, I would like to express our sympathy to Joy and to David and to Anne and to the family. You have shared your husband, your father, your grandfather with us for many years. And we want you to know how much we appreciated having Slim and how sorrowful we are for our loss and how sorrowful we are for yours. Death is a dreadful thing. It robs us of our mates. And Slim was not only the Father of the Year and the first Senior Citizen of the Year, an Officer of the Order of Australia, a member of the British Empire, a winner of innumerable awards. Slim was, for all of us, that quintessential mate. Each of our tributes, I think, contributed to that point. It is such a distinctively Australian virtue, mateship. And he was our mate. But there are two things that destroy mateship. Two things which are common to us all, each and every one. Sin and death. For we all do wrong things sometimes, even to our mates. And that wrecks mateship. And we all need forgiveness. And sometimes the price of forgiveness is too high for us to pay. And reconciliation becomes impossible. And we all, each one of us, face death. The death of our mates and our own death. And death always robs us of our mates. Now, at this time, we are walking in what Psalm 23 calls the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. For we have lost our mate, and it's a sad day for the whole nation. Slim's songs often captured the sorrow and loneliness of death, and more commonly, I think, the pleasure of mateship. I think of his two biggest hits. We won't have a little test to find out which ones you're thinking of. I think it's well known. The two biggest ones, well, they're both about mateship. I love to have a beer with Duncan because Duncan's me mate. That's what it's about, isn't it? And of course, the biggest of all time was a pub with no beer. There's nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear to stand in the bar of a pub with no beer. Friends, I'm no drinking man, and I'm not much of a singer either. But I don't think we can have Slim Dusty's funeral without singing just one verse of a pub with no beer. It just wouldn't be a funeral of Slim Dusty, would it? They think so. And you guys have to cover my voice. Are we ready? Oh, it's a lonesome away from your kindred and all. By the campfire that's not, we'll hear the wild dingoes call. But there's nothing so lonesome, morbid or drear, than to stand in the Yeah, we couldn't do it. Like Duncan, a pub with no beer is about mateship. The friendship of drinking together as equals, contrasted with the misery of loneliness. The song's not about alcohol, If you remember the words down in the verses, you'll see one of them, it's still the, there is wine for the wine buff, isn't there? But there's no beer because there's no, the ordinary bloke's drink is missing. The stockman, the swaggy, the blacksmith, the maid. The drink of beer is symbolic of enjoying mateship at the end of our journey, at the end of a hard day's work. You see, in some ways, Slim and Jesus were alike. Both were rural storytellers, travelling tirelessly from town to town, from little villages amongst the ordinary people, the little people of their day, telling their stories, encountering life as it is, out amongst the people. I mean, both were famous in their day. The first century Jewish historian records for us about Jesus. Josephus writes of him. And yet, like Slim, famous he may have been, he was one of the little people. Jesus didn't have a story about a pub with no beer, but he once did go to a wedding without wine. And there, to the amazement of all, he saved the party by turning the water that was set aside for ceremonial washing into the finest quality wine. That is said to be the first sign showing his glory or greatness. But frankly, it doesn't make much sense, does it? I mean, what kind of glory, what kind of greatness is it is to turn water into wine? I know I can't do it, and I guess you can't either, but what does it mean? Has he just come to do miracles? Is all that it shows? Did God become man in order to do party tricks? In order to show off his power? In order to save a wedding from embarrassment? Hardly. No, there's more to that sign than that. It's about turning the water of religious ceremonial washing into the reality and joy of true cleansing and new life. Not just washing us externally ceremonially, but forgiving us properly and truly, dealing with death by giving life. But you won't understand the first of the signs of Jesus until you study the last of the signs of Jesus, which Bill read to us just a few moments ago from the end of Matthew's Gospel. For there we read, it's printed in front of you if you have that program, he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now, this cup of wine that he is handing around does not symbolize fun and pleasure. Not like the wedding. This cup of red wine symbolized his blood, or more accurately, his blood shed in violent sacrificial death, poured out for many. His blood in which was written the new covenant, I mean contract, between God and man, the contract of forgiveness that we all need. Forgiveness because a restitution for sin was being paid by his bloodshed. Paid not by us, but by the only man who could pay the price, the innocent man who was God, the offended party. And he didn't want to drink the cup of his father's wrath. He didn't want to drink it down to those bitter dregs of death. But he was willing to drink it for us, that we may be forgiven. For notice the last little part that Bill was reading to us there. "My father," he prayed, "if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Not as I will, but as you will." And so, in a single action of his death, he dealt with the two things that wreck mateship, both sin and death. Sin because his perfect sacrifice paid for our sin, and death because not death is no longer the end but the beginning. 3 days later he rose again from the grave and appeared to many witnesses. And notice what he promised. For he says back there in verse 29, it's about the third or fourth paragraph there in that reading, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. After his death has dealt with sin, then he would drink again. But then drinking would symbolize mateship and friendship and joy and happiness and restored relationships, permanent relationships, restored because sin is dealt with, permanent because death has been dealt with. And so then it will be the time of party and of fun, of drinking anew in the kingdom of God, drinking with God in his kingdom. Heaven, my friends, is not a pub without beer. Hell is the pub with neither beer nor mates to share it with. But for the party of heaven to be established, sin has to be dealt with, death has to be dealt with, which is what Jesus did in drinking the cup of God's wrath in his execution as he cried out those terrible words of dereliction, my God, why have you forsaken me? King David was a country boy. He was a shepherd who became a king. He knew what it was like to go through the valley of the shadow of death, but he did not fear evil. Why? Because the Lord was his shepherd. We walk this day through the valley of the shadow of death. Here today, around the coffin of our mate, we are brought again face to face with a death that there's not a person in Australia would want. And we're reminded once again that our day comes too. Do not ask for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. David knew that the Lord was his shepherd, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Is the Lord your shepherd? Can you say with David, the Lord is my shepherd? He is the shepherd who loved his sheep enough to lay down for them. But the question remains, is he my shepherd? One of Slim's songs went, my clothes may be old and look ragged as I lie neath the scars by the bend. As I dream, there is one consolation. I have a king for a friend. But he's just the one who made the mountains. He's just the one who lights the stars. He's just the one who sends the sunshine. He's just the one who made the flowers. He's just the one who hangs the rainbows. He's just the one who placed the pearls. He's just the King of Kings in heaven. He's just the one who made the world. I'm tired and I'm weary from roaming. And this dusty road, it never seems to end. But I wouldn't want to go on living if I didn't have a king for a friend. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is the king your friend?